The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, no, we ready this time around? The Niner fans ain't ready. You know what? Just pump that song for the rest of the season because they're not ready. They're mentally exhausted. So maybe we'll just play for the Warriors every single regular season game. I don't know. But the Warriors are ready last night as they snapped their five-game losing streak. J.K. Wiggins, oh, great. Let's talk about it. 888-957-9570. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance. I got the dealer. I do miss YouTube. Had a chat, and I think the guy who's going to win YouTuber of the Year is also going to be the reason why YouTube was disabled in the first place, or the YouTube chat was disabled. We'll get to that at the Doobie Awards. That's coming up December 20th at the Laughing Monk Brewing. I say you get there. RSVP right now at 957thegame.com. It's going to be a hell of a party as we celebrate the year. We celebrate you, the listener. We're going to celebrate the station. And we're going to have a damn good award show. Don't you get it twisted. A damn good award show, Shasky. But how about Jonathan Kuminga? Career high, 33 points.
I thought Kuminga was spectacular yesterday. And people are going to probably point to that as one of his best games, strictly because of the points. And when they came, obviously late in the game, he was really, really good. You know, 9 minutes to go in the game. Like, where are you going to find scoring when this thing slows down and we get to the half court? The biggest development for me was he did all the grimy things, too. Like, he did a great job boxing out, making the extra pass, not just crashing into people. He brought the ball up the floor a couple of times. Like, you saw a variety of ways that he showcased his tremendous growth as a basketball player. And I thought that Steve Kerr, because we always want to crush Steve Kerr when he doesn't do something. Well, let's give him some credit for adjusting the offense and doing more ball screens last night than I can remember in a long time. And not just a traditional, everybody ISO and let's get out of the way, a couple guys in the corner, and we'll just do a high pick and roll. No, they were running a variation of their offense, which incorporated more ball screens. And I just thought it was perfectly executed by Wiggins and Kuminga and Kevon Looney, Pajemski, etc. So they deserve a ton of credit. It was a great game for Jonathan Kuminga.
Great game for Jonathan Kuminga. Great game for Andrew Wiggins, who we'll get to in just a second. But 888-957-9570. I respect the fact that Jonathan Kuminga is bet on himself, which is not getting discussed enough. Whether two parties, obviously the Warriors and Kuminga from the reports, they were far apart of the contract extension. But Kuminga's basically betting on himself. And he's saying, I can be that player. And last night, I thought Steve Kerr giving him the keys to the operation down the stretch was a big growth moment for J.K. and a confidence booster. Here's what Kerr had to say about J.K. taking over at the end.
Well, he was having a great night, and it was a no-brainer to get him the ball. I took the time out in order to get offensive guys back on the floor. I was going offense, defense with Gary and Buddy, and then, you know, put Kyle in for the inbound at the end because I trust him, you know, to make that pass. And then J.K. just made the play. I mean, he got a couple of ghost screens, from one from Buddy, one from BP, just to try to confuse the switch a little bit. And J.K. just attacked, and that was the play of the game. It was just a beautiful drive and capped off a phenomenal night for him. He was brilliant.
What about Kuminga being an option to close at the end of the game.
I think the biggest thing with our team right now is, you know, we can see that we have chemistry. We can see how hard guys play. We just have to find the combinations that we can count on and hopefully get to night after night. I mean, that's the only way to really develop chemistry and continuity, trying to close games. But, you know, I think the floor has been opened up a little bit the last couple games for JK. Obviously, he's starting, but, you know, can we get him out there more with Draymond? You know, with Loon as a four, like he's been playing the last couple nights. That's really the key, and we just have a lot of guys, and so we have to sort through all this. But there's no question we can do more of this. I thought Wiggs too got downhill tonight, over and over again, made some huge plays for us.
Steve Kerr on that option there, and I could see a high ball screen with J.K. And you saw it the other night against Denver, where J.K. sets a screen for Stephen Curry, and you know Stephen Curry is going to get it. He's going to get doubled. I wonder how many hockey assists Steph Curry had in that Denver game. He had 11 assists, but how many assists off the double? Because he's going to get doubled, especially at crunch time, when everybody knows number 30 is going to have the ball. But with the ability that J.K. has to finish at the rim, not many guys can finish at the rim like he is. And I think we're just seeing a glimpse of what he has in his bag, as the kids say.
Well, I've always felt like his post work, like his post footwork and whatnot, is actually deeper than people give him credit for. And I think that because the back-to-the-basket game has been so marginalized in the space era that we're in right now, he doesn't get a chance to demonstrate it as much as he could. But he actually has a very good pivot foot. He does not travel underneath the rim ever. He can finish with both hands. So around the rim, he's very ambidextrous. Clearly, he's explosive.
Yep.
But I also think he has tremendous touch off the backboard. There were a couple like where he went off foot, wrong hand.
Off balance, jumping off his wrong foot.
And finishing in traffic. I think he's got a really good finger roll. He's got a really good kiss off the glass. And obviously, he can bounce. I mean, the guy is awesome. And I love the way that he played with Wiggins. I think a lot of people, fair or not, are like, can Wiggins and Kuminga play together? It's like, guys, last night was a showcase of it.
Well, I thought last season, the last 20 games, was a showcase for it. And Steve, remember last season, Steve said, yeah, I don't think we're going to play them together. And then he ended up playing them together, and it ended up working. It ended up working. Now, I think J.K., as the game slows down for him, and that's the big key. He mentioned it yesterday. The game is slowing down for me. And when it slows down for him and he takes care of the basketball, again, I look at his last two nights against Denver and against Houston last night. Three total turnovers, and all three was last night when he had more usage and the ball in his hands in 32 minutes and 55 seconds. Just three turnovers. So, one, he took care of the basketball the last two nights. Two, he's slowing down and taking his time. Three, although last night he did settle for the three, and he shot 50% from three of six for the three-point line, but he's got his game going inside. So when you get your game going inside out, sure, step out and take a couple threes there because teams are going to be reluctant to let you drive because of that threat. So, all right, J.K., man, what a growth motive for him. But I always believed that J.K., me personally, that J.K. and Wiggins can work because they're so good defensively. Now that can they work off each other, that three-man game with Steph, and J.K. and Wiggins, I think it's something I want to see more moving forward.
Yeah, and I think the elixir is him at the four, right? Now, you're obviously going to have to tinker with different lineups and have different combinations around him, whether it's Looney at the five, Draymond at the five. I think at times there was a really nice pocket pass by Pods to TJD on a high pick and roll. Maybe it'll be TJD, though. It feels like, not that he's out of favor, it's just I think they're picking and choosing their spots, and right now Looney's playing a little better down the stretch, and I think they've leaned on Looney a little more, which I would do too, because right now Looney is playing a little better. I think the TJD's going to, you know, this is a work in progress, but how do you keep that going for Jonathan Kuminga if he's going to be in the starting lineup? Do you start Draymond at the five?
Well, no, I think you're kind of leading me to something that I've been thinking about. We'll get to Chris and Shadow's Age in just a second. And I've been thinking about this. So they've had 11 different starting lineups. And the Warriors, when they send out their tweet or their graphic on Instagram, they call it the first five, not the starting five. They call it the first five. And I kind of like that. Because, you know, I've been yelling to the high heavens the last 2 years. Now, obviously, for certain players, it does matter if you start. But I look at this team thing. Who's going to be finishing? And I know that J.K. can finish alongside Wiggins, Steph, and Draymond. Who that other guy is could be GP2, could be Brandon Pajewski. It could be Buddy Hield if you need shooting. It could be Loon Dog if you want to go two bigs and get a little more physical. Now, that lineup, they did start going big early in the year with TJD, Dre, Wiggins, JK, and Stephen Curry. But what if you did stick with Wiggins and JK alongside Looney, Steph, and whoever else at the two guard? And Draymond did come off the bench. He showed that he will come off the bench in a playoff series against Sacramento. Now you're smiling
at
me.
That lasted how many games?
Well, it lasted because, obviously, Sacramento figured it out in game six.
I'm just asking how many games.
It lasted three games. Okay. It lasted three games.
I have a hard time. Like, look.
No, but it lasted three games. It lasted three games because it got blown out in game six at Chase Center, and Sac had found something with Trey Lyles at the five. It was like, all right, maybe you do have to go back to the two-big lineup, but I don't know where Draymond Green is at with his calf and his back. And Draymond Green knows he's getting 30 minutes when he shipped. I don't know. At the start of the game, you want his defensive tenacity. He's a tone setter, so you're probably not going to do that. But I wonder what Steve Kerr will do to tinker with the lineups, because I think everything's on the table with this team.
Until it happens, I just have a hard time believing that Draymond's not going to be in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And that's not any fault of Draymond. It's earned equity. But like, it's just like we are coming to a point where like we can see like Kuminga at the four, Draymond really ideally at the five. Like, that's when they're at their best, I believe.
But it's a lot of wear and tear on Draymond to play that small ball
hey,
five.
Hey, look, I get it.
It's a lot
it's
of wear and tear.
It's a Pandora's box.
It's a lot of wear and tear.
So, like, I guess Looney my is question to you well. Is, what's more important, right? What's more important? Is it Kuminga as your second scoring option or as one of your top scoring options or, you know, maintaining the health of Draymond Green? Obviously, most people are going to say both. But, like, if you had to choose, which direction are you leaning in?
I don't know. I don't know. What direction are you leaning in?
I'm leaning in Kuminga because Kuminga is going to be a huge portion of the future of this team.
Maybe. And he doesn't have that check yet.
But have an opportunity to match whatever he wants. But if that's what you're looking for in him, like, that's where I think that the Warriors themselves need to commit to something. They need to commit to one of these young guys. And I would commit to Jonathan Kuminga right now. And you're just going to have to see it through the ups and downs. He's going to have some stinkers, you know, but like his scoring and him playing like that, like he is a weapon.
Career high 33 points last night. Let's go to Chris in San Jose. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, morning, gentlemen. Happy Friday. Yeah, you know, I don't want to necessarily kind of talk about his fit or anything with the team. I just, you know, a 21, 22-year-old kid, the game's finally slowing down for him. He is, you know, let's be honest, he's the best athlete on our team.
Yep.
You know, he can fly like Wiggins used to fly, but he's got a little bit more weight to him, right? And I that type of team against a young, lengthy, you know, spry Houston Rockets team, whether it's that type of team or a bottom dweller like the Portland Trailblazers that also have young players, Kerr needs to realize those are the types of games where he can thrive. You're talking about a guy who in a league full of elite athletes is, you know, in the upper echelon of athletes. And, you know, I'm not comparing the NBA to 24-hour fitness, but you walk into a 24-hour fitness, you know who the best athlete in the gym is.
Yep.
You know who you got to worry about. You inherently know, man, if I mess up, this guy might yam on me. This guy's going to kill me. We might lose 11-0 if I don't play my part. And that's what Jonathan Kuminga, to me, as an athlete, can bring to the table. You inherently have to focus on him when you're the other team. And he does have that confidence that he plays with. It's a two-sided street, right? When you also know you're the best athlete in the gym, you're looking at these guys. These dudes can't stop me. These guys got nothing for me. I got everything for them, and they got nothing for me. So him, he's the guy that has the ability to break down the defense. You know, Pajemski gets in there a little bit, but he doesn't want to score. Kuminga's going to get in there and take it to the hoop. And that next part about the game slowing down for him, he's going to be able to drive, penetrate, kick, start that ball flow. So I called you guys a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about how, you know, he came over starting a whole life, right? Learning English, learning the game. We're talking about a kid who hasn't played basketball as long as people that are still in high school. So give the man time. You don't give up on one of the best athletes in the NBA, period. I love you, gentlemen. Let's have a wonderful Friday. Take it away. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too, Chris. Thank you.
Take it away.
Thank you very much. look, I see a lot of stuff about having a number two scorer, right? Steph needs a number two scorer. Well, I think you have one in Andrew Wiggins. He's averaging over 17 a game. Now, the key is because Steph Curry's only averaging 30 minutes a game, he's down to 22 points per game. I do think at times that will bump up and he'll get back to 24, 25. There's no doubt in my mind. He's still one of the most elite players in this. He's one of the elite players in this league. But Andrew Wiggins giving you the 17, 18 a game, that's beautiful. But if you can get Kuminga around 16, 17 a game with his defense, now all of a sudden, all I need is a couple tweaks with this roster. You're close. You're closer than we all think, especially in this Western Conference where KBD goes down with another ankle injury. You're right back into the top six with the win last night. With Kuminga, if Kuminga and Wiggins can consistently give you 18 a night, that's 36 between the two of them, and you get whatever you're getting from Buddy Buckets off the bench, Podziemski starts shooting better, all of a sudden you just need a couple tweaks. You need to fine-tune some things here. So maybe you have your number two scorer already on the roster, Sasky.
Well, and you keep telling me that he plays better when he knows he's getting more minutes, and I think he just settles in a little better.
He plays better as the game goes along.
I know.
Every single night.
Well, that's where I would make the commitment to him to be the starter. And if Draymond has to play a little small ball five to start a game, then so be it. If Draymond has to come off the bench a little to preserve his body, then so be it. Like I think they do need to commit and put their flag down on some of these youngsters. Otherwise, like, you know, they're kind of short-siding themselves. I think they need to commit to one of these youngsters.
Now, tonight's going to be interesting because, as the 408 mentions here, the Rockets, their interior defense is not the same as the Minnesota T-Wolves, who we'll see tonight.
Although they did have some blocks last night.
They did have some blocks. But
Rudy Thompson, kid, I am enamored by him.
No, the man Thompson can defend.
I like him a lot.
He is a good, good player. I do like him, too. I like him a lot, actually.
I didn't know anything about him other than him and his brother, who I guess lived in Oakland for a period of time. And we've played him, what, three times now? Is this second or third time?
Well, second time this season.
So, okay. But he played last year.
He played last year as well.
I don't know. I've been impressed every game I've seen him.
He's solid. He's a hell of an athlete, too. And he defends. He defends his ass off. Remember that game in Houston? He was picking up full court.
Yeah.
He was picking up full court and giving the Warriors trouble, all the ball handlers trouble there. But Minnesota, look, we know they were in the Western Conference Finals a season ago. And they're starting to get hot here. They're starting to win some games. They beat up on the Clippers the other night. Beat them down. Beat them by 29 at the Intuit Dome. So it will be a little different. So what's the adjustment for Wiggins? Wiggins usually has a good night against his former team. He had to deal with the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, coming off of back-to-back. But I think one of the two may play. Steph or Draymond. Steph or Draymond may play. And there's definitely history with these two teams last season, of course. We know what happened with Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green. But with the T-Wolves at 11-2, it's a nice little challenge for the Warriors on a back-to-back. And we'll see the T-Wolves three times in the next couple weeks.
I think we need to mark the tape, Sam. You know, F8, the control keyboard, if you're listening over there. It's the first time in the history of talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves you have yet to reference Naz Reid.
That's not true.
He is a warrior killer.
Yes, you know I love Naz Reid.
I know you do. That's like normally when you start rattling off the roster of Timberwolves, Naz Reid is one of the first names that you say.
Well, because that first year I started doing the television program, Warriors Pregame Live, they had played the baseball series against Minnesota with nobody. And it was a clunker. But I was like, this Naz Reid has activity. I don't know who this guy is, but he's kind of wild. And then every single time he seems like he comes in. Spadoni was at the game where he had like 21 in the first quarter. Lit it up. Was that the game where Carl Anthony Towns hit the pull-up three to win, 99-96? Naz Reid is solid. But now you got Julius Randle, who's the ultimate ball holder, the ultimate ball stopper.
Yeah. Hated that fit.
Now it would be great to have Draymond Green against Julius Randle with his physicality. They always go at it, too.
The best thing that can happen tonight is if Julius Randle starts feeling himself early in the game. Dylan Brooks hit a three last night, turned to Podziemski, and just started barking like crazy, and the Warriors went on a little run right after that.
The game within the game.
God, Dylan Brooks is such a great villain.
Dude, when he picked up a stir foul, did you see Draymond? Get on the bench.
Draymond and Steph were so animated on the sidelines. It was as if you were watching two old gunslingers realize, like, ooh. There's a Billy the Kid in town. We could use him in our posse.
They've been trying to empower Kuminga. You know, especially Draymond. He's talked about trying to get Kuminga to the All-Star game or whatnot. I think Kuminga does need to be in the dunk contest. That's how you even get your name out even more, become a household name.
He's a 2-foot dunker, though, I think, for me. He is. Like, Dominique was a 2-foot dunker.
I don't think he wants to participate in it. I don't think he wants to do it. But
well, I mean, this goes back to LeBron ruining the dunk competition, but that's neither here nor there. Huh. Well, never competing in it was just the most cowardly thing of all time. Huh. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, you're not. You really did do the flip.
Well, it's a rite of passage. He should have done
it. No, he should have done it. Jordan did it.
I mean, he had his
chance. Kobe did it. It's actually embarrassing that he did it.
Now, I don't know if you know this, though, but LeBron's been giving back to the league, allowing every team that they play against to have a dunk competition in-game with no defense. It's called the Lakers season. Not sure if you're aware of that.
How about this? Would Warrior fans want this moving forward? 888-957-9570. Doesn't even have to be Draymond. But for sake of argument, I'm seeing a 4-5. Let Kuminga start, save Dre to close.
Yeah. What's more important, defense down the stretch or defense to start the game? Because we know that the first quarter holes have cost them.
Yeah, but you don't want a team to come in and start rolling, get out to a hot start in the first quarter, start seeing the basket, it turns into a beach ball. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, boy, we're scoring at will. So I do want that defense. I want defensive tenacity at the start. Steve Kerr talked about the defensive intensity yesterday.
I thought we just played hard. You know, anytime you're in a rut and you lose, you know, 4 or 5 in a row, it's never going to end with a 25-3 night. It's going to end like this, you know, 1990s basketball. I felt like this was going to be how we broke our streak. You know, hold somebody to 90, 93, you know, tonight. Dig it out of the mud, get stops, and you can only do that by just playing hard, and that's what our guys did.
1990s basketball.
I don't think they play 1990s basketball, but I get where he's going at, and he is right. Last night, I think they only had 19 assists, and a lot of that is a byproduct of running more pick and roll type stuff. I do believe that he's going to have to come off of this motion, like being completely.
At times.
Yes. Yeah. Completely married to only running motion offense stuff. Like, I think that the recipe now is some sort of a nice blend to do what. Because Wiggins clearly thrived as well. It's not just Kuminga related. And I think that Buddy Hield can get better looks. He's got to get going. Look. Lost in the win yesterday, which was great, is there wasn't really a third guy because,
no, it wasn't.
You know, but you need to get Buddy going.
Yeah,
you he went to the rim, missed a layup, got a couple free throws. That was nice, but the three-point shot is not falling.
I do think, though, when Steph Curry does come back, whether he returns tonight, Sunday, for the Emirates NBA Cup, I do believe now you do have that third score. And whether they're the number 2 scorer or the number 3 scorer, I don't fixate on that stuff. KD just compliment and play winning basketball. If I'm getting 18 from Wiggins and I'm getting another 17 from JK, I'm cool with Steph giving me 23 a night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's perfect production for a big three, right? That's perfect production for a big three. That's literally 60 points between the three of them. Now I can find another 40 to 50 somewhere else. Maybe that 10 to 15 coming from Buddy. Maybe that 9 to 10 I'm getting from Draymond Green. Maybe that 6 to 7 I'm getting from Kevon Looney. Maybe it's the 7 to 8 I'm getting from Brandon Podziemski. That stuff all adds up. So without Steph, yeah, sure, you want that third score, and hopefully it's Buddy Hield who got the start last night, but he went 1-for-8. You saw him back to the bench, and he's giving you 10 to 15 off the bench, but maybe it's JK who could be that third score, and him and Wiggins are alternating back and forth on the number 2 or 1. See, I just think they need some fine-tuning here. If you empower JK, this is what you can get on a nightly basis, man. Again, I'd go back to Tim Roy telling us, he reminds me of Ron Artest. I saw a little Artest yesterday. I saw a little Kawhi. And you see the body type, the physicality, the explosiveness. This guy has the tools to be a really good NBA player for the foreseeable future.
So empowering him, like, I know he wants to start. I can feel it. I can feel it from the young man. I would throw him in that starting lineup, and I just have to ride the wave.
Here's what he had to say about whether or not he feels like he's earning more minutes.
So just going out there and playing and doing my best and actually having the whole coaching staff and my teammates to trust me, you know. And I feel like the more I keep playing that way, the more I keep showing that I could be in a situation, you know, I'm gaining more trust and more playing time.
I'm getting into a rhythm, starting with Draymond out.
Not really, you know, I love playing with Draymond. Just not him not being out there, you know. We miss him. It makes things easy for a lot of people, including me. But, you know, I don't really worry about if Draymond starts or doesn't, you know. All I worry about is just go out there and try my best to have a good game and to fit as a player.
All right, 888-957-9570. Dub Nation, where you at, man? They had lost five in a row. They snapped their five-game losing streak. They've won 15 straight against the Houston Rockets, which is amazing. They take on Minnesota tonight. How are you feeling this morning about Jonathan Kuminga? What should be the next step for him? Is it 30 minutes a night? Is it starting? Is it finishing? What did you think about last night with JK? 888-957-9570 is the number. It's been a hell of a week, Shasky, with the Golden State Warriors. They're talking about them. We'll talk more about them coming up. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It's your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com.
Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
I mean, oh my God.
It doesn't upset me, it bothers me.
Go. What's up, man? You got anything planned this weekend?
Oh, me? Hey, how you doing? No plans, Shasky. Haircut tomorrow. I got to pick up my suit from the tailor, drop some other suits off. Feeling real good. Got to get a storage unit. What else
do I need? Gotta get a storage unit.
Yeah, I need a storage unit. We're running out of room in the house. Our living room basically is Toys R Us right now. So we donated some nice toys and stroller to a family in need. Yesterday was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It is the season of giving.
Yeah.
So we have some extra clothes, extra toys, and gave some stuff away. Well, I'm just saying something here. Never mind. 405. It's getting on me about something. Who knows? But I don't have any big plans. Ask college football tomorrow. College football, all the conference championships. I'm going to be a college potato. What about you? You already got something to do.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff.
Go ahead, name them. You're the busiest guy I know.
I've got a funeral to attend, a celebration of life.
Oh,
and
sorry.
One tonight and one tomorrow. So, yeah, we got some of that. And then I got some baseball. And then I got, some watching the Bears, Niners. And then a birthday party for my goddaughter.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, that is a great weekend. Somebody told me, don't forget about our women, bro. Today's a very special, important day with the Valkyries. I just mentioned how the expansion drive is at 3:30. I don't know if you just started tuning in, 415, but we've been talking about the expansion draft a little bit the last 3 days. Natalie DeCasse, let's go, who actually was on the morning roast. So, 415, you're getting on me about something and I have no idea what you're getting on me about. Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. This feel good Friday, man. It's good vibes right now. I know Antonio's feeling good about last night and the Warriors stepping that five-game losing streak. We saw some growth from JK. Hey, Antonio, we saw growth from Pods, who handled Iraq for 37 minutes. We're seeing Andrew Wiggins have a spectacular season, and reinforcements are coming with Steph and Dre.
Yes, I freaking love it, man. Beat the number 2 seed Houston Rockets. What is that, 15 in a row? Wiggins, you know, play like the all-star we know he can be. But when Kuminga opened up the game with that mid-range shot, looking like a mini Kevin Durant, I was like, oh, it's on tonight, man. I'm feeling real good about this. And, you know, Pod's getting those rebounds, man. He's getting that confidence back. That's what we need because, you know, we're on a mission. We're trying to get Steph and Dre, the whole organization, that fifth title. So I'm all with this, man. It looks beautiful basketball last night, man. Keep passing the ball. Hopefully Buddy Hield, he got to be the next one to wake up, though, on the real. So this might be, a sign that the Niners are going to win on Sunday, baby. So, hey, I love when the Warriors win. I feel good. I got so freaking sick of losing.
Antonio, real quick.
Yeah.
Are you making an appearance at the Doobie Awards? I haven't seen you in a long time, man. It's been a while since I've seen you, buddy.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in the Bud Light section up at Levi's.
Oh, you saw him?
Well, sometimes I see him. He's dancing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I will be there. Heck yeah, was that 6 of 10 Sunnyvale?
Yeah, Sunnyvale. Yeah. Free food, Doobie Awards. Wait, is Antonio up for anything?
Antonio might get best dressed.
He might get best. You might get best dressed.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be dripping. I'm gonna be dancing. Everything, man. Can't wait to see y'all. I rock with y'all.
Hey, Antonio, I love you,
thanks,
man.
Antonio,
can't wait to see you December 28th at the Doobie Awards. If you don't, if you're like, what the hell are Doobie Awards? What are they talking about?
It's a celebration.
They're talking about
of our
marijuana.
Fans.
No, we're not talking about marijuana. We're talking about our award show, the third annual award show, where we have our Roaster of the Year, our YouTube Roaster of the Year, our Rookie Roaster of the Year, our Rookie Guest Moment of the Year, our Rookie our Roaster Moment of the Year, our Roaster Drop of the Year, Roaster Caller. We got award. We got actual trophies. December 20th, Laughing Mug Brewing. It's going to be a ball, a party. Free food, free drinks. We're doing the show. We're going to have a ball. This is going to be something special, man. I'm telling you, you want to be at the Doobie Awards, go ahead and RSVP right now at 957thegame.com for more. Take the day off December 20th. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss it, Shasky. Let's go to Tim and Riley. You know he's excited. Whenever we hear from Tim, we know that JK did something well. Tim, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, what's up? And I only rock with y'all because I know y'all a believer. But this is the thing, Barte. We need to be ashamed of ourselves right now. Like, we already know what it is. We forget the 11-for-11 against Atlanta last year, the 25, the 31 against Sacramento last year. We forget that we probably in the double digits of games we have won because of him. And we still be asking ourselves these questions. You know why? Because in 2 weeks, he may be playing 13 minutes again behind Lindy Waters or Pat Spencer. And that's why we be feeling like this. This is the thing, man. You know why I'm proud for the young fella? It's not so much of the Warriors anymore. I'm proud for him to be able to show what he has so one day, he'll be playing for a coach who truly, truly wants him and believes him. Let's think about it, guys. The kid got 3 games to start the year, 3, and it was over because he didn't execute in the first 3 games. If the coach would believed in him the way he is forcing Pods down our throat, no disrespect to Pods, but Pods is going to start for the foreseeable future because he can do no wrong in Kerr's eyes. We keep talking about how to make this work. He got 3 games, and he was yanked. So it's ways to make this work, man. But at the end of the day, we got to stop acting like we don't know what it is, fellas. We know. The reason we be having these conversations like we don't is because he hasn't been empowered. And we know that in 2 to 3 weeks, he could be at 12 minutes again or 15 minutes again. So what I love about him, fellas, is I don't know how a 22-year-old can have his confidence remain as high as it is after all that this kid done went through in this organization and with this coaching staff, man. And so I think the double standard, the hypocritical actions that sometimes come from Kerr when it relates to him and Todd and Moody and these guys is what makes us still question it. But, guys, we know because we've seen it, you know. So I just wanted to hit y'all up and see how y'all was feeling today, man.
Look, that's why I want to see them. Like, if you're going to keep Kuminga, they kind of – You got to feel like they have an idea one way. Like, to me, it's very simple. It's like either commit to the kid or move the kid. Because you can't let him waffle. What has happened to Moses Moody cannot happen to Jonathan Kuminga. And maybe it's more dire because, obviously, Kuminga's probably got a bigger market outside of the Golden State Warriors than a Moses Moody. But to me, like, they've got to, if you're going to keep him, commit to him. Empower him. And I think once you make that decision, you got to ride and die with the ups and downs and just live with it. You just got to live with it. And, like, that's really where we're at right now. And if they don't want to live with it, I understand that. But, like, come on, man. Like, well, I don't know what else he needs to do.
This is a great situation, though, for the Warriors and JK. JK wants some money, then you got to go out there and ball no matter how many minutes you get. Whether you're starting to come off the bench, you got to perform on a nightly basis, and you have to be consistent. This is the process of betting on yourself. And if you bet on yourself and you produce like you did last night, now the numbers are not going to look the same. It's not going to be 33 points every night. It's not going to be 13 to 22 every night. You may not get 22 FGAs every single night. You may get 12. You may get 14. But if you defend at a high level, and if you rebound the way you did last night, you box out and play physical, you can finish at the rim the way he did last night, the previous season, and the season before that, then you will get paid. This is the price of betting on yourself. I'm not mad at JK. You bet on yourself, and he had the confidence to do it. Whether he walked away from 25, 30, 32 million, we don't know the exact terms. We don't know what was brought to the table with the Golden State Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga's people, but you know what? He basically bet on himself. So now we get to see the fruits of his labor in finishing last night the way he did. I'm stoked for him.
Can't you also acknowledge that, yeah, it's great to bet on himself, and I know you really like guys in a contract year. I know you've said that over and over and over again. I know it's case by case, but like,
yeah,
you think you get the best out of an individual, but it is a tightrope, right? Like, you know, if for whatever reason rotations change and your opportunities change and you find yourself on the short end of the stick, you are flirting with danger. I mean, the Klay Thompson thing, I think there was a lot baked into it, and one of the many things was that he didn't have security after the season. And so I agree on the premise, but they are flirting with some of the pitfalls that can also, you know, be a byproduct of
winning cures all. Winning cures all. If you win, it will cure a lot of things, and it'll cure a lot of, and you know what? With Klay Thompson at the end of the year, I don't think it was an issue towards the end of the year because he started playing better, and it was like, it is what it is. I know free agency's coming up. Let's just try to get to the playoffs. Let's try to get to the play-in. With JK, he knows he has a long career ahead of him. So you can't let it get you down. And as Tim and Riley said, his confidence doesn't waver. It did not waver last night. And you just see the way Steph and Dre were on the sideline, rooting him on, telling him, go get the ball. Go get it. This is your game. Go out there. And I like the coaching they did with Pods. You know, everybody's always, I want to stop doing this where we're pitting Pods and Moody and JK against each other. They all play different positions. Pods is asked to do different things than Moses Moody's asked to do. Jonathan Kuminga is asked to do different things than Brendan Podziemski's asked to do. So we got to stop pitting these guys together. I thought Pods last night, after getting reamed in the postgame presser by Steve Kerr Tuesday night, to handle the ball the way he did and only come up with two turnovers against one of the top five defenses in the NBA, I thought it was another step in the right direction for Brendan Podziemski. And when you look at his last four games, how do you impact winning if your shots are going down? Well, you get out there and rebound your ass off. And he had 12 rebounds. You move the ball, play a .5 basketball. Didn't you see him play a .5 yesterday? That ball was hopping. Even though they finished with 19 assists, the ball felt like it moved a lot last night against the Rockets.
I could see where you perceive it, like people are pitting them against each other. I'm sure there are some people. I think it's more we use one as a metaphor or microcosm for how the other is treated, or we compare and contrast how one is treated because of their ages and they're at in their career.
No matter the context, Shasky, it just seems like it always turns into Pods and Kuminga. Well, okay. Pods goes this, and Kuminga doesn't get this. It's like, dude, they're playing two different roles. Like, Moody plays a different role than Pods. We don't have to always do this every single day. It's not an either-or. What Pods needs to do for Pods and his team is do what he did last night. Now, you hope that the jumper starts falling for him, and I do believe that it'll fall on a more consistent basis. But how you rebound, how you play defense, how you get teams into sets, how you facilitate in the half court, he's got a different role, as Steve Kerr mentioned. He's like, we need him to handle the rock and get us to the sets, and he has to be a top-flight decision maker. It's different than what Moody has to do on his basketball team. I just, you know, whether or not the context, what you said, because you're right on it, but it always seems like it turns into a Pods versus this guy, a Pods versus that guy. They're all the Warriors, for crying out loud. They're playing with each other, not against each other.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. But the perception is they've been treated differently, right? Throughout, when players make comparable mistakes or whatever, right, there's a difference of how they're treated, right? Like, you know, and so I understand that.
But it's also, too, with Moody and Kuminga, they've had guys that block them in those positions where Pods, you don't really have another ball handler right now. And you really haven't had that ball handler, whether it was Chris Paul being hurt last year. So I don't know, man. I just think some of the Pods rhetoric has been a little unfair towards them. That's just my opinion.
I don't know. Like, you say that, and I agree. Like, hey, like a GP2, they keep kind of reverting back to, and he'll cut into some of the minutes of a Wiggins or a Kuminga or a Moody. But then it's like, well, how do you explain Jeremy Lamb? You know what I mean? Like, there's always like these random counters that people will have.
Well, Jeremy Lamb played for a different coach like 17 years ago.
No, Anthony.
Oh, Anthony Lamb Chop. Yeah.
Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, Jeremy Lamb, you kind of be confused.
Shout out UConn.
Shout out. Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lamb. No, I get you. Let's go to...
And I also just think people like they really like Kuminga. You know, they've seen a young man come into this league as a baby, and now they've seen him for 4 years, and you get tantalized with some of the flashes, and you start to think what he could, it couldn't be, and... You know, you've seen him on the trading block, off the trading block, you know, rumored in this package, rumored in that package. And maybe they get an extension. Maybe they don't. There's been a lot. And then he's gone to the media or his camp or somebody went to the media. The coaches discussed it. Like, there's a lot to chew on when it comes to John the Kuminga. I think he's a very polarizing player.
Let's go to Craig in H-Town. Craig in Houston, what's happening?
Hey, man, I got a question. Is there two parts? Pods on the Warriors?
Hmm?
Is there two different pods on the Warriors? Because I kept hearing about this guy that was a future all-star and so on and so on, and that's not the pods I've been seeing from pretty much day one. I mean, the guy is a really bad on-ball defender. I mean, he's consistently getting blown by when he's on the ball. I know y'all have to notice that. His best move is to take the ball into the lane and start flipping around and turn around looking for somebody to throw it to. He can't take people off the dribble. We don't have to talk about his three-point shooting. But for some reason, he's Kerr's main guy. And that part I do not get. I mean, I have a nickname. I call him Little Jesus because he can do no wrong in Kerr's eyes.
Well, he obviously did some wrong Tuesday night, Craig. When Steve Kerr said what he said Tuesday night, he obviously did some wrong, right?
And how many times has he been called out or sit down because of it?
We don't know. We don't know what happens behind closed doors. And Steve Kerr mentioned in his presser that I talked to all these guys one-on-one. Animated conversations. There's plenty of images where he's talking to Jordan Poole one-on-one. He's talking to Pods one-on-one. He's talking to J.K. Booty. And he reamed his ass Tuesday night. So for all the people who say Pods can't do no wrong, obviously he did enough wrong to where Kerr blasted him at the podium.
Yes, that one time, we all saw that, right. But my point, now back to the Kuminga thing, and I keep hearing about his inconsistency. The only problem Jonathan Kuminga has since he got on this team is a Steve Kerr problem. He don't have a Kuminga problem because he has proven every single time he gets minutes, consistent minutes, that one way or another, he's going to put points on the board. He's proven that time and time again. And for some reason, I mean, I can only imagine where Kuminga would be had he got the free reign that Podziemski got last year to just go out and do your thing with a long leash. I can only imagine where he'd be right now.
Kuminga's polarizing. People
They're
really
all
like
polarizing.
Him. Yeah, Pods is polarizing.
Well, do a lot of people like Kuminga? Some people, we've taken calls on both ends of the spectrum, Spinoni.
It felt like most of the summer is trade him for either Paul George
yes.
or Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah,
that's mainly what it was. Everyone was coming to terms with, like, all right, him and Moody, that's fine. Pods, if it needs to be.
Would you agree that the organization's actions over a big body of work, in terms of like playing time and how they discussed him, he was never, like, I've never heard Steve Kerr or anyone with the Warriors like, we think he has the potential to be a future All-Star. Have they ever said that sentence?
About Kuminga?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've heard that sentence.
Draymond said it.
No.
Joe, absolutely. Joe Lacob has said it multiple times.
I don't remember
that. He loves Kuminga.
Down to your knowledge.
He loves Kuminga. Now, maybe not the way he said it about Podziemski, but they've raved about Kuminga for 4 years.
No, I know, but specifically the what he said about Podziemski kind of snapped me back because I don't remember a sentence like that about Kuminga.
I also think that, you know, Kuminga and his relationship with the fan base, it was kind of partly on his own too, because a couple years ago, CJ Holmes, San Francisco Chronicle,
yes.
complaining about not playing in a playoff series,
yep,
right?
Kings won.
You know, there's all that talk about him and his camp requesting a trade, or he's not going to be playing.
Outwardly questioned the coach.
The whole benched thing, and it was just like, yeah, it's like,
I mean, we were zooming in on his body language on the bench. As a fan base.
Well, here in 2021, Joe Lacob said this. Draymond's suspension, as he said in his comments the other day, ironically may have long-term made us better in an odd sort of way because J.K. got to get the leash taken off and play, and he's been fantastic. He's just been tremendous. He's a monster. If he continues to play like this, which I think he will, and get better at 21 years old, his future is unlimited. So that's a raving raving review from Joe Lacob. He said that in 2021. So he said that about all these guys. He loves Kuminga.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He could sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Nah, he don't sugarcoat it with Kuminga. He loves Kuminga. He's used words like ecstatic.
I'm not saying
unlimited. You know,
I just think that the language of potential all star after 1 year, like I don't know. That's
I thought that was a heavy
sentence.
It's also empowering for your player to, you know, the owner's going to talk. Owners talk at times. They're a little hyperbolic at times when it comes to their own players. But he believes in these youngsters. There's no doubt about that. He believes in these youngsters. Let's go to Paul in the Peninsula. What's happening?
Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Enjoy the banner. It's very informative.
Thank you.
If we're going to commit to Kuminga now, now's the time we got to trade. And I'm not talking major blockbusters, but I'd like to see him maybe try to get Cunningham from the Pistons for maybe Wiggins and Odds. And
I don't mean to stop you. Like, Cade Cunningham is like their number one player, like in terms of their future.
But look at where they're at now.
No, I'm aware of where they're at. They're not.
Why would you want to trade Andrew Wiggins, though? What have you seen from Andrew Wiggins to make you want to trade him? The guy's playing his ass off.
He is.
And he's so valuable on this team. Defensively.
He's ready to win. Like, now he's a playoff-proven stud.
I don't know. If I think Cade has the potential to guard like Wiggins in the future, but I don't know if he's there right now, Paul.
No, I understand that, but he's a great assist guy. He's a scorer as well. And if you're going to commit to Kuminga, start him and play him.
I would agree.
And then the other thing they need is they need a center. They need somebody that can board. And I'd like to see him get Vukovic from the Bulls.
I would too.
It's not bad. Now
I wonder what like the financial ramifications, because everyone's like, well, he can be had for two twos. Now with this Melton contract that can be traded after the 15th of December.
That's huge.
See, I wonder, like, I don't even know what Vucevic is making currently, but if it's two twos and, you know, swap some salary of a player that's not available right now, I still want to bring Melton back in the offseason.
Yeah, personally. No doubt.
But I would love to get Vucevic just to get me that third body. I still like TJD a lot. I love Looney, but I think another big would be definitely needed.
I think he dropped like 39 the other night, Vucevic.
So this season, because he has this year and then next year remaining on this contract, $20 million cap hit this year, and then $21 million next year. And then there's the whole like apron salary slot. So $20 million this year, $21 million next year, luxury tax, same thing.
Melton's on $11 million. And then
$12 million.
And then Moody's like what, 9, 10? I'm just trying to think like what Anderson's like 8, Buddy's like 9, GP2's like 9. So it would be probably a stapling of, you know, a combination of those. And I don't want to do that to those guys, but you could see where I would do that deal.
Well, they may make a move. We'll see what happens. Everything's on the table. Let's go to Nicholas in Pacific Grove. Nicholas, what's happening?
That was a beautiful game by JK last night. Very decisive, able to, you know, get to the rim. But I would just think about, like, also everyone, all the other callers saying, imagine Vucevic with the spacing. Like, he made a comment last night. Like, even JK can be even better because it forces, you know, a center out of the paint. So I just think about the potential there. And what I would love to see tonight and Sunday is just more consistency from Kuminga and the confidence being boosted up.
No doubt. And he's gonna have to be consistent and confident this weekend against Minnesota. And Minnesota's bringing in Anthony Edwards. They're bringing in Naz Reid and Julius Randle. And his team is good. They were in the Western Conference Finals last season. They're trying to find their way this year as they implement Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. But Conley's a very cagey OG guard. He's lost a step. There's no doubt about it. But they have Jaden McDaniels, who's a hell of a defender. We know about the quote. Hey, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. And you know what? He wasn't wrong. They do have Jaden McDaniels.
You know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels.
And he's a hell of a defender. He's a hell of a player. I like Jaden McDaniels a lot. So we're going to need JK to be consistent. You're going to need Andrew Wiggins against his former club to be consistent. So that's where tonight – and Sunday, these are big growth moments for not only those players, but Brendan Pajemski, Moses Moody. This is big for the youngsters. Huge. Let's go to Mr. D in the city. Mr. D, long time no talk. What's up, baby?
Yes, sir. How you doing, fellas?
Not too bad.
Fantastic.
Yeah, great, great, great. Hey, listen, guys. I love Wiggins, okay? I love his defense, and, you know, I love his aggressiveness lately. But I'm just kind of concerned about his ball handling skills at the end of the game. Man, he has a lot of turnover. And that hurts us at the end of the game. And I know if he's going to be in there, you got to get him the ball. But, you know, when he tries to drive and everything, it's like they just take the ball from him. And that's concerning to me because you got the close game. You got to have somebody in there that can handle the ball and not give it away. And those turnovers at the end of the game, they hurt us. And the other thing I want to know about is what do you guys think about? I know a lot of people don't know about it, but are we going to get anything out of Quentin Post this year? Because, you know, we need a big man. Let's see what we're going to get.
Yeah, I think we'll see it soon. We'll see it soon. They'll bide their time, just like with TJD. TJD didn't really come onto the scene until about, what, February? About February when he started really getting some minutes here. So give Quentin Post some time. Let him get acclimated. He's watching. He's been traveling with the team.